And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. The sun is sort of gone here, although I can see some blue sky out the window, but it's still lovely. And we're still happy to be here. The temperature's about 49 degrees. I hope it's good wherever you are, especially up in Squamish. Where Squamish, you ask? Well, you'll have to figure that one out. But I'm sending this out to all our listeners, and especially to my good friend, our good friend, the Queen of Radio. We want to send speedy and happy healing wishes to our friend Debbie Twombly. And glad all is well. And also to our good friend Gina Kiter. You know, our body parts start falling apart, and fortunately these days we can sort of get them fixed and hope for the best. So, good wishes to all. And then I have a sad note, in case you hadn't heard. We lost a very special member of our extended community. Carol Barth died this past week. Her husband, Vern, was the first, well, I called him the king of jazz here on Coast Community Radio. He died a few years ago. But he is still very much alive, thanks to Will Chapman. On Thursday nights, you can hear, every other Thursday night, you can hear his music and his voice. So, the world of the arts is still sending out live healing wishes to all. Today is December 15th. Does that make it the Ides of December? Think that's quite right, but it's getting close, and it's time for Arts Live and Local, which is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you by Scott and Tim at Dots and Doodles Art Supplies, committed to helping the local art community by providing fine art materials and supplies, including Posca rock painting pens and laser engraving. Information on Facebook and on their website. They're located on Marine Drive and 3rd Street across from Burger King in Astoria. Check them out. It's always a lot of fun. It's a season of light. Some of us have already been growing the light by celebrating Hanukkah, lighting a new candle every night. And the 21st is right around the corner. And we're looking forward to the light. The earth, the sun, the politics. Let's go for the arts.
Oh,
Well, we're not quite in a winter wonderland yet, fortunately for us. But we are in a wonderland, that's for sure. And I have here Dave Becker, who is the director and conductor from the North Coast Symphonic Band, and also Jennifer Crockett, who is the director of Liberty Theater. Hi, folks.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
You look very comfortable in those chairs.
These are very comfortable chairs.
You've sort of been here.
Yeah.
But you haven't done this particular one. What did we just hear?
Well, that was North Coast Symphonic Band's holiday concert last year at this time. And the soloist leading the singing there on that would be probably familiar to most of your listeners. That's Deke Guidi, who performed with us along with Alicia Ned as vocal soloists last year. And this year we've got someone a little closer to home for me anyway, which is my son Andy Becker and his wife Rachel Becker. And so they'll be doing several selections, both together and separately, and they're wonderful singers.
And they have been here before also.
Yeah, they've been very popular here.
Yeah.
But they haven't done this concert, so I've sort of moved them around every year or two.
That's good.
They did the July 3rd patriotic one, mm-hmm. and they did the one that we did about the Age of Aquarius, which was a lot of fun.
And yeah.
So,
we've got quite a full program. Jennifer, how do you fit into this?
I will be playing on stage. I'm honored to be asked to play with them again this Sunday.
Oh, now you're not a regular member of the North Coast Symphonic Band.
No, I sit in when I can, and I'm always happy to do it.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you whenever you can.
<That's great. laughs>
We got a fine clarinet section. And
I just love this community. We just sort of turn to the left, turn to the right, and
exactly.
Suck them all in. And as I mentioned, Jennifer is the executive director of the Liberty. And so this is kind of a collaborative concert. In addition to the North Coast Symphonic Band, we have the North Coast Chorale, directed by Dr. Denise Reed. And so it's going to be a very full concert. I don't know. This Russian Christmas music is the one that kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. It's a major, major work based on an old, old Russian carol, Carol of the Little Russian Children.
So,
but it's a big work for big standard work for big wind band.
Okay,
very powerful.
So that will be non-vocal,
right?
Okay,
right.
Okay.
And the concert, you know, just to be clear on this, it's a holiday concert. It's not a Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we will have some Christmas carols, and we do a carol sing along at the end that's become very popular, kind of a tradition now. And there'll be some things that are not really related to Christmas in it. Our theme for this concert is peace on earth and goodwill to all.
I like that.
During these times when we all need to treat each other with much more goodwill and wish for peace. So there's some things about kind of coming together and uplifting tunes like Over the Rainbow is on here, which doesn't have anything really to do with the holidays, but it has to do with being positive and hopeful and all of that. And
mm-hmm.
my daughter-in-law really wanted to sing it, and I can't say no to her. So
terrific. And we all love Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, they're great tunes.
In all its renditions. And yes, I think it fits in quite well in these times, and any time for that matter. And now I just noticed that you have a Hanukkah celebration too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also instrumental.
Yeah, and normally, we don't always do one. There aren't a lot of real good arrangements out there of
we're gonna have to
Hanukkah
find
music.
You
well,
some.
This one is a good arrangement.
Oh, good.
It's a lot of fun.
Good.
It's got has a lot of the tunes in it. It's got the Hanukkah, the dreidel song, O Hanukkah, Rock of Ages, and Who Can Retell,
mm-hmm.
and nice
those
peppy medley and traditional things. And
right.
So we'll be doing that, and we've got...
Okay, quick question. Jennifer, will you be playing that one?
Yeah.
So are you just playing cold because you know how to read music, or do you go home and practice these pieces? Because I don't know. Have you ever played that before?
I have. I always practice. Just in case any teachers or students are listening out there, right. I always practice. You have to practice.
But so you've known for a while that you're going to be playing along.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't just turn around and say, oh, you over there.
I go to rehearsals.
You walk around with a clarinet. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're... Yeah, that's great. Okay. Okay, well, let's back up then to... Because now I can see it's clear which ones are the vocalists, because it specifies.
Right. And
The Mountains Echoed.
Oh, that's a fanfare-ish opener piece based on Angels We Have Heard on High. But it's a good one. It's a real rousing, uplifting piece.
Do you listen to a lot of different arrangements and pick out a favorite, or how do you choose these? Because of course you don't want to play the same songs every time.
Well, I've been conducting bands for about 50 years.
Oops.
Actually, so starting in high school, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say Dave has a real knack for picking out good arrangements that really bring out the best parts of the band.
That's great, and you play with several other groups as well, smaller. And
I do. Smaller and larger.
Larger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So,
but a lot of it is I know a lot of the band repertoire out there. I ran a reading session for educators, band directors at Lewis and Clark College for 35 years
or
so.
What does that mean?
They'd come for a week and play new band music, and we'd play 75, 80, 90 pieces sometimes.
Wow.
Over the course of some of that, and doing that for all those years,
right.
I had to pick the music, and so I got to know the repertoire quite well. And I'm always looking for new things. And this Mountains Echoed, Gloria is new, and I heard that. Well, that stands up really well against the other things that are out there.
Nice.
Our second piece is one that will not probably be very well known, but it's a beautiful piece. It's the Noel movement from George W. Chadwick's Symphonic Sketches. And George W. Chadwick was an American composer back at the turn of the previous century, who was one of the first really significant Americans that could kind of stack up against the great European composers. Not quite, but still, I mean, he was, and he also was one of the first to really write on sort of American themes. And so this is kind of patterned after Silent Night, but it's just a beautiful old nostalgic piece.
And I notice he composed this movement named for his new son.
Yeah. Yes.
Noel.
Yes.
Oh, really? What?
But it is a seasonal piece.
Right.
I mean, it's about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real pretty. And
Now
we've got Blue Christmas in here. And Andy is going to sing.
What's Andy going to wear for that?
I don't know. And they never let me know until they just sort of appear. And it'll be fun. That's part of the fun for me is I don't know what they're going to do.
Where do they live, by the way?
They live in Tigard. They're both educators. Okay. Now, Rachel's a elementary school teacher, and Andy teaches middle school choir in Park Rose. And I played the accompaniment for his concert last night on "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh my goodness!
One of my rare piano appearances.
I love it. That's sweet. So you played for him. And
yeah. Now he's going to sing. Yeah. So he's going to sing for us.
Right. Lovely.
And we'll be doing that piece. It's kind of a tradition we've started here too. And this is an arrangement by Dave Robertson, who lives down in Rockaway Beach and is a real fixture here on the North Coast and a professional arranger, retired professional arranger. And so he wrote this arrangement for us, and works really well. I will be doing that.
And then right after the intermission, this looks like it's your arrangement, is that right?
Yeah, it's a little small arrangement, but this is another thing Andy and Rachel wanted to do. And if our listeners out there, if you come to the concert, you will get an indication of why we're doing this particular piece, which is about coming together between, from the magic flute, coming together for Papageno, the bird catcher, and Papagena,
right.
who he meets. And
oh, my
goodness.
I love
that. They fall in love and all of that. And,
now I understand. I there was an email that said mentioned pa-pa-pa, and I thought it was kind of like blah, blah, blah. Now I realize it's... And I'm not going to say a word, but reading what it says here, I'm wondering what we're going to see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, folks, you better come. This is Sunday. Let's remind you before we go any further. Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. That's 12th and Commercial. And it starts the Peace on Earth, Goodwill to All concert by the North Coast Symphonic Band. And we'll talk about some pieces being done by the North Coast Chorale as well. Is at 2 p.m., but at 1:30 is the prelude with the very popular Astoria Tuba Quartet.
They're fantastic.
Aren't they? Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. Somebody was just telling me that they had heard a tuba accordion duet and loved it, and challenged us to... Do you have any accordions in your band?
No, we don't.
Okay, well, we then don't. I think we're safe, folks. We'll have.
I know a few accordion players, but...
I love the accordion, but accordion and tuba. Okay, maybe another concert. Okay, and then we will have the four pieces by the North Coast Chorale, accompanied by Darcy McAllister, Et in Terra Pax by John Purifoy, and Omanium Mysterium by Morten Lauridsen, Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow with Phil Keim soloing, that's John Rutter arrangement, and Star Carol by John Rutter. And if you were smart enough, lucky enough to get to the North Coast Chorale concerts last weekend, that was Friday night and Sunday at the Performing Arts Center, you will have experienced those, so you'll know how good they are. So that is now part of the North Coast Symphonic Band concert. I love collaborations.
Well, we're really delighted to have them with us, and when we started doing these together... back 4 years ago or so, that's the first person I called was, to get Denise, Dr. Reed, and the Chorale involved. And so sometimes we've done some pieces together. Our schedules were pretty complicated and busy this year, and we didn't know if we'd really be able to have the rehearsal time to do a big piece together. But they'll be joining us at the end for the grand finale when everyone sings along, and they'll help the audience sing along.
And, I presume they'll be... Yeah.
And it's nice. You know, this is... ever since we've started this, we've had a lot of vocal music involved in various ways because it's really a time to raise your voices and enjoy, you know, at this time of the
year.
Absolutely.
And singing is always good. And that is something that, apropos of what you said, Jennifer, about practicing, singing, people can actually join in without practicing, you know, just listening to and catching a chorus or something, and singing quietly if you can't carry a tune, but singing anyway because it's a joyful thing to do.
Exactly.
So, and then you have one last piece. Is that the night before Christmas? Is that
right? And that's the arrangement by Dave Robertson. So
that's the one. Great. With Andy and Rachel singing together again. Wonderful. It's going to be terrific. Concert again at the Liberty this Sunday. Come early so you can hear the Astoria Tuba Quartet, and I believe it's open seating, so you can choose where you want to sit. If you get there early enough, last week Columbia River Symphony was sold out, except it was a free concert, so I guess you still say sold out. Full house, maybe. Full house. Yep. These things happen, and we're delighted when that does happen. But we want to see everybody there. What else is happening at the Liberty, by the way?
Tonight we have the closing night of the Reader's Theater's performance of A Christmas Carol.
That's upstairs in the McTavish Room.
Yep.
I saw that last night. It is delightful.
Oh, yeah. It's arranged and directed by Seneschal and Cavo. It's the second year we've done it, and every single night has been packed.
Great.
It's fantastic.
Yes. Well, Reader's Theater is finally coming back into its own. When Edna Packard was here, we did it all the time, and it was so popular, and it kind of got a little iffy, but it's...
No, I love
it. Susie Brown does some of it, and now Sen's got a hold of it, and he's doing a great job.
Yep.
A Christmas Carol, but not not the same Christmas Carol that you'll see at the Coaster Theater, which is right. a musical.
Right.
This has also got some music in it, but it's old carols, and we have a clarinetist and a fiddler or a violinist.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And, oh, maybe we'll keep that for a surprise.
Yeah.
Come tonight and see an instrument
Nate plays
that you're
a
not.
Surprise instrument.
He certainly does.
Man of many talents.
It's great fun. So, anything else we need to tell folks?
No, the band's sounding great. We love playing in the Liberty Theater, one of the best places you could find to play. And we hope a lot of people can turn out for this. It's going to be a very uplifting, joyous concert, we hope.
And NorthCoastSymphonicBand.org. Are you keeping that one up to date, pretty much? Or we go to the LibertyAstoria.org. That one is for sure.
Yeah, it's all out there.
Easy to find. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and on Monday,
please tell us. Monday, there's another concert.
There's a free recital from the Astoria Conservatory of Music on our stage at 6 o'clock.
Is that on the big stage?
Yep, it's on the big stage. Okay. It's part of the Liberty's Homegrown series that highlights music education in our area. So we give them the stage for free for the night, and they are able to fundraise however they'd like. And so they're doing a free concert. Donations are accepted if you would like, and if you're not able to, you're still welcome to come.
Wonderful. Do you know what time that's happening?
Six o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yep. Okay. And do go to libertyastoria.org, because not only will you find out everything that's going on at the Liberty, but you've been putting a lot of other groups on the...
We sell tickets for other organizations in town. So you have to be a little careful when you're buying a ticket to double check where it's going to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're happy to do it.
Good point. Well, it's a great service, but that is a good point. And when you show up, especially. Thanks so much for coming in. Dave Becker, the director and conductor of the North Coast Symphonic Band. Concert this Sunday, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to All. We need it.
Yes.
And Jennifer Crockett, the executive director of the Liberty Theater. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Carol.
And I do have some music from Elizabeth Nicholson on harp and Bob Soper on fiddle. They're going to be playing at the Pickled Fish. That's the Adrift. 9 o'clock tonight, I do believe. Thank you. is Elizabeth Soper on harp, and I'm sorry, Elizabeth Nicholson on harp, like nickel harpa. Okay. And Bob Soper on fiddle. And again, they will be at the Pickled Fish at the Adrift tonight at 9 p.m. And right now, I have a guest I didn't have time for, I thought, last week. But when I saw her work, I thought, we got to get you in here. Christine Trexel is here. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here. You've been on the show before.
I have, yes.
Yeah. But what happened is Christine opened in the group show at Imogen, which is called Hook, Pulp, and Weave. And it's a wonderful show with, I believe, six different artists. And I'll let you know about them in a minute. And I've been watching Christine's work for a while. I think I was at a studio tour, but it wasn't your house. It was somebody else's.
No, it was my house.
It was your house, but mm-hmm. you had other artists
right.
with you.
Right.
Okay. But I didn't really know you. And I enjoyed your work. I found it, it's always been well done. And interesting. And also, didn't you work with plants as well?
Well, I make paper with the plants.
Material? Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. So working with paper. But this show, I was, wait a minute, there's a whole new body of work. And you called it Inside the Box, but they're mostly hand... I have a hard time saying books, hand-bound books.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of books, but they're the most imaginative books that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit and tell me a little bit about yourself, because it's been a while since you've been on, and what brought you, brought all these things together to where we are today?
Well, we've been in Astoria for about 5 years. And I've been a bookbinder and paper maker on a purely personal level for my own pleasure for probably 25 or so years. But after retiring and having more time to spend on developing my craft,
mm-hmm.
One thing kept leading to another. And I realized that while I had spent a lot of time binding blank books for journals
uh-huh.
and making boxes for jewelry boxes and various sorts of things, I was started to feel like I was missing something. And what I was missing was the content, the stories that these things could tell. And there are so many wonderful book artists out there around the world. And that kind of inspired me to keep looking further and exploring different kinds of structures and letting the structure be part of what tells the story. And so, as you said, they aren't really books, but they would be called book art.
Okay. And they do tell stories.
Yeah, they do.
Some of them... How many pieces did you have at Imogen?
Five.
Five pieces. And they... Each one is... unique, of mm-hmm. course, but also very different from the others.
Yeah.
They're totally different styles. Did you actually create a larger body and you just chose one from each? Or because these are so diverse.
No, I didn't really. Each of them started with an idea of something I wanted to tell. For example, the one that I call the Philosopher's Box, I was researching... Or reading. I wasn't researching exactly. The early philosophers, and it just fascinates me that there were people, are people, that come up with completely original ideas, and they knew so little about how the world worked then. And it was fascinating to do some of that reading and exploration. But I find it pretty overwhelming to understand. And so could I make it into a story? So I had to work with it and work with it and work with it in order to condense material and make sense and have, you know, the transitions work. And so that one came from my wanting to clarify it in my own mind.
Can you, because someone listening might say, okay, so it's a book. I open it up and I turn the pages and it's simplified philosophy. Mm-hmm. Not even close. Can you describe what materials you used and how it I'm doing it with my hands here, how it opens or moves? And
I used heavy mat board and handmade paper to cover the box, and then it's hinged so that it's like probably 1.5 inches thick. And then within that, I made a slot where 6 panels pull out that tell about different philosophers on each side of the panel. And then there are little flip boxes that have the first 3 philosophers on one side, and then just sort of a very short explanation of how they got started. Then there's a map in a little leather pouch that shows where each of them lived. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the box, I did 3 spinning dowels with Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle's photographs. And then I made a scroll that pulls out and explains each of their philosophies in a very, very abbreviated form. And then 2 little tiny leather books that talk about the Stoics, Cynics, Epicureans, and then the Dark Ages.
See what I mean, folks? Uh-huh. And when you pull it all together, pack it up to go, or how big does the whole thing end up?
Oh, I think it's probably about 14 inches tall, maybe 8 inches wide, and altogether probably 4 inches thick.
Yeah, yeah. And you have so much going on in there.
Yeah, there is
it's
a lot going on in that one.
It's fascinating. I hope Seth, our philosopherian, Seth and God are listening, or I will tell them they need to go over and see that. Just that one piece alone is enough to,
well,
to keep
you.
A prisoner busy. It was wonderful. And I think the, quote, simplest one was the beautiful rainbow colors.
That one, I think we probably all remember one of the stunning sunrises that we had fairly recently. And that came from wanting to recreate that myself. I'm not a painter, but it was just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so I made a book of 4 panels that I hinged with bamboo rod and leather and not bamboo rod, brass rod and leather and brass wire. And then I used my paper and textured some mountains and dyed with acrylic inks.
Mm. Okay, that's why.
Yeah.
It's acrylic inks, because it's a very soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you were a bookbinder and a paper maker. Mm-hmm. So you have, and I mentioned the plant. Are you still using plant material?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I make most of my paper from plants that I gather around here.
Did you do this professionally before you moved here?
No. I was fortunate to retire pretty young, and we retired to Panama, and my papermaking skills really took off then because there are some fabulous fibers. I had banana, abaca, papyrus, all in my yard that I could harvest.
And how do you get from having all those fabulous fibers to creating, making them into paper?
It is quite a process.
What inspired you?
Oh, well, because I can.
I mean, lots of people live in fabulous tropical environments with all these plants. They would never think of taking them and grinding them up and, you know, creating.
Yeah, and I had learned paper making before we moved there.
I see.
And I was interested in it. I really enjoyed it. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to expand my skills.
And have you always worked with your hands as well as your brain?
To a certain extent. I've always sewed and embroidered and done those sorts of things. Professionally, I didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you did.
But I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah. The other one that I'm thinking of is kind of pyramid. And it flops down, and then there's a whole world of material.
Yeah.
Tell us that.
I also am interested in kind of medieval times. And we are fortunate to own pages from 14th and 15th century Book of Hours. So they're manuscripts that are handwritten by the scribes and illustrated and just beautifully embellished. And they were books of devotion for wealthy persons who could afford them. And I've always wanted, like the idea of making my own Book of Hours. I've thought of it for years. And I decided to make it a book of what I do during different seasons. So it's divided up into the four seasons. Mm-hmm. And I like the pyramidal structure. And then I could make each of those, each of the four sides, into a season. And so I wrote about what I do and kind of illustrated them with some, different flowers and things that would be typical for that season. And I did little illuminated letters on the title pages. That was pretty fun.
But the way the whole thing comes together and then exposes itself almost is fascinating.
Yeah.
So now you understand why I wanted Christine to come, and I was very glad to be able to squeeze her in this week.
Oh,
the
I
show
appreciate
is
it.
Up. Do you know what the, let's see, I should be, oh, it's through January 9th, the show, so you have plenty of time to see it. This is Imogen Gallery, which is 240 11th Street. It's on the corner of 11th and by Marine Drive, slightly south of Marine Drive, next door to Cargo. And let me mention the other wonderful artists. I love group shows. Mm. They're so, it's just like, wow.
That's great stuff.
So the name of the show, again, is Hook, the whole show, Hook, Pulp, and Weave, an exhibition of fiber-based art. Roxy Applegate with Hooked Rugs, Susan Cerconi with wall-hung fiber art. High Highlights, our very own wonderful handmade paper lights, and they are also on, I don't want to use the word permanent because there's no such thing, but they are on exhibit full-time at Imogen in the back room. When you go there, don't miss that back room. It's extraordinary with paintings and then lights, including mushrooms and all kinds of things right now. Kathy Carbo with paper sculpture. Julie Kern Smith, Nuno Felted Scarves and Wraps. That's what I read. And I don't know what N-U-N-O means, but
Me neither.
They are gorgeous. And then Christine Trexel with the hand-bound sort of books. It says books, but I'm adding mine. Wonderful. The opening was last Saturday, as there is Art Walk, is second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. First Saturday is in Seaside and Gearhart, and it's always enjoyable to walk around. There were a lot of people out last week because, in addition to all the wonderful art, the wonderful weather that helped as well. So I hope you get a chance to look. Do you have any, some of your art is on the Imogen website.
Mm-hmm.
That's Imogen. Do you have your own?
I don't have my own website.
Okay. So, folks, that's it. You just have to go over there and see the work. If you live anywhere around here, or if you're on your way back. And you can always check with Terry Sund if you want to contact Christine. Thank you so much for coming in. And I look forward, who knows what's coming next time. Okay. All right. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. And I have one more guest. And we have a treat or an opportunity for you, I should say. But first, some music from David Jacob Strain. The funny part about this is that the album is from 2002. Is that right? Yeah. I haven't had any new music from him since then. Or at least I can't find any. He's playing at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow night. That's in Long Beach at 7 p.m. He is wonderful, and I read about him all the time. What's sweet is to see a picture of him when he was so young and still making fabulous music. So let's hear a tune from him, David Jacobs Strain.
I feel it in the silence of the rain. In the darkness, I still see it coming closer like thunder on the plain. And in this world, we will rise again. In the age of the earthquake, in the time of the wind, in the high country, the mountains fall. In the age of revolution, baby, I'll be your wrecking ball.
David Jacobs Strain, and I highly recommend him then and perhaps even more so now. It's very exciting to see young people, people who start at a very early age to make wonderful music and just keep on going. So, okay. Yes. My last guest is Charlene Larson, no stranger to anyone here in Clatsop County, I suspect. As a matter of fact, Charlene could have been here for my with my first guests because she plays with the North Coast Symphonic Band, right?
Correct.
Correct. And what do you play?
String bass.
That's the stand-up bass, my favorite instrument. Not that I've ever played it, but I once danced it. We were asked to be instruments, and that's the one I chose. Just love it. Is that the only group you play with?
No, I play with the North Oregon Coast Symphony, and then also with the North Coast Chorale when they have instrumental pieces. And I play at First Lutheran Church also when the ensemble plays. With Lori Draghi and Phyllis Taylor.
Nice, nice. Well, I was mentioning it's just wonderful the way people kind of come together. Like Jennifer, I thought she was here to represent the Liberty, but actually she's playing clarinet with you guys.
She is, yes.
I love it, love it. So Charlene is here, though, in a different capacity because she is involved in so many projects here in our area, very involved in the community. In this case, we wanted to talk about the Oregon Cultural Trust and the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. Got it all out there. And I'll start. Can you hear that, folks? It's a little quiet. That's the sound of matches in a bottle. And the words on the bottle are, make your match by December 31st. I don't know who thought of this, but it's great. I love it.
It's a good marketing.
It's a very good.
Very good marketing
and
piece.
Very useful, too. It's a small bottle filled with wooden matches and a little striker on the bottom. It's great to carry around. I've used mine already. So tell us what that means. Make your match by December 31st.
Well, it's important to talk about it this time of year because our deadline date for making that match is December 31st. It all has to do with a tax credit that is allowed by the Oregon Cultural Trust. Over the year, over this year, 2017, most everyone has been making their donations to cultural entities in Clatsop County. So entities like the North Coast Symphonic Band, the North Oregon Coast Symphony, the North Coast Chorale, and also heritage and humanity organizations such as Columbia River Maritime Museum, the Seaside Museum and Historical Society, Clatsop County Historical Society. All of those entities are registered, and Tillicum Foundation,
and Coast
KMU,
Community
and
Radio.
Coast Community Radio, right.
Yeah.
All of those entities, and there are 31 alone in Clatsop County that are registered cultural nonprofits with the Oregon Cultural Trust, plus anything else around the state of Oregon that you would be giving to during the year. So you keep track, and the Oregon Cultural Trust provides you with a nice little flyer to keep track of your contributions that you make to these cultural organizations. And then when you add those up, you then make your match. And your match can be $500 for an individual if you itemize your taxes, or $1,000 for a couple, or $2,500 for a corporation. So the match is then comes back to you in the form of a tax credit.
Now,
so
this,
the bottom line,
yeah, exactly. This is the almost seriously incredible part of it. If you pay taxes, state taxes in Oregon, this gives you the opportunity to say, I want my money, $500 for an individual, $1,000 for a couple, or $2,500 for a corporation. I want that amount of money to go to the arts or the heritage or the cultural part. And it comes back to you as a credit. You give it to the Oregon Cultural Trust. When you do your taxes, you take it right off the top. We're not talking about deductions. This is the part I think most people don't get. It took me a while because we don't hear about tax credits that much.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have an accountant do their taxes perhaps don't even realize. If you pay taxes in the state of Oregon and you have made donations, how many organizations did you say?
In Clatsop County alone, there's 31. Throughout Oregon, there are 1,400 plus cultural nonprofits that are registered with the Oregon Cultural Trust.
You know, I wasn't even thinking of that. So it's anywhere in the state. It has to be in-state.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Oregon thing. Are we the only state in the country?
We happen to be the only state in the country that has a program like this.
Amazing.
It was established in 2003 by the Oregon legislature with the idea that when it comes time to state budgeting, historically, arts, culture, humanities, and heritage are shortchanged.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way that we support our arts and our culture and heritage and humanities in the state of Oregon. And then the interesting thing about this funding is each one of the counties and the recognized tribes then in turn receive grants from the Oregon Cultural Trust to then distribute in their county. So our ceremony and
yeah, that's right.
Celebration
just
was last Wednesday.
Right.
And we were able to help not only with the Oregon Cultural Trust funds, but also with a $2,500 grant from the Oregon Community Foundation.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
To give out $13,000 to 12 different organizations.
And that was just in Clatsop County?
In Clatsop County.
Wow. And you out there listening, you can be part of this, these riches. So what we're talking about, do you think it's written clearly on the website, the Cultural Trust website?
I think so.
I think people can get it because,
so.
Mm-hmm. Because, or you can call me right after the show is over. I've been doing this for a number of years. Once I found out, I didn't trust it at first, to be honest. I thought, I'm going to get this back. It's going to come off my taxes, and indeed, it comes right off the top of your taxes. And then, so that's a personal choice and gift for those of us who are pro-choice in terms of where we want our money to go. And then, as Charlene just said, money from the Oregon Cultural Trust, as long as money comes into them, they will be giving money out. So Clatsop County, each year, how long has the Cultural Trust, the Cultural Coalition, been around?
The first grants were made in 2005.
Have you been involved since then?
No.
Okay.
No, just recently.
Okay.
In the past maybe 3 years.
Okay.
I've been, and I serve as a co-chair this year with Sunny Cleaver.
Right. Right. And so a group of people who are on the Cultural Coalition. And again, you can get more information about that
at our website, yes.
Which is?
Which is ClatsopCulturalCoalition.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You might say, you know, I'd like to find out more about that. Number one, how can I get some of that money? Do I have to be a big organization? Do I have to be a nonprofit? Charlene can give you some of the answers.
Right. And in Clatsop County, and you can go and look at the website and just see the grantees over the years, but in Clatsop County, you do not have to be a nonprofit to apply for Clatsop County Cultural Coalition funds.
So an artist, for example?
An artist, okay. An individual. You know,
right, might be able to get funds. You
right.
have to have a plan. There is an application. We talked about that, folks. You may remember a couple of months ago, we said the deadline is coming. So now we're saying we're on the other side of it. 12 organizations
received
grants,
mm-hmm.
And you can read about them. And in the meantime, you have not a lot of time. You've got 2 weeks and 2 days to make your donation to Oregon Cultural Trust. If you have given $100 to organizations that qualify, you get to give $100. If you've given $1,700, you only get off $500. You can give them $1,700, but only $500 is going to come off the top. But let me tell you, when you're doing your taxes, it's pretty nice to know, I gave $500 to the arts, the humanities, heritage, culture, and I was in control of that. So we're obviously, Charlene and I are both cheerleaders for this process. And I don't know if it will last forever because Oregon is a very special state. But if you take part, you out there listening, then I think we can keep this going.
And it's important for more people to participate because it's a renewable program at the Oregon legislature, you know, every once in a while. So as the effort grows to support Oregon Cultural Trust,
right.
whose funds also support their partners in the Oregon Arts Commission and others, then it really makes a difference when your legislators look at the support that's coming
right.
from the different communities
right.
and from the whole state, that the program continues.
And Clatsop County is a rural county.
It is.
And we do pretty darn well in the arts. You wouldn't be listening to this show if you didn't care. So we know you care, and obviously we all care. And so check it out. Make the effort. Keep this system alive to support the arts. And if you can find one of these little bottles with the matches in it, it's a great idea. It's creative. Oh, yeah. Did I mention art saves lives? I like to be sure to say that every week. And it heals lives. And it may be the only thing that's going to keep human beings going on this earth. The creative problem solving that we certainly need at all times. So,
I know it soothes my soul.
There you go.
And when right. I'm standing there playing the bass, and I can feel that lower vibration
yes.
coming at you, and then you have all your neighbors and friends right. around you playing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what's better than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, dance. I'm a dance. Yeah.
yeah.
So that brings us full circle because we started the show talking about the North Coast Symphonic Band. Charlene will be playing. Look for the bass player on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Liberty Theater. And do check out the Oregon Cultural Trust. If you have any questions, call after 4 o'clock. Do it. Don't, just figure it out. If you're listening, I hope you're a member of Coast Community Radio. It's never too late. You can always call in and make a contribution here or any one of these other organizations and then match it. And you'll feel good. The state will benefit, the community will benefit, and we'll keep this thing going. We can do it. Charlene, thank you so much. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for being part of the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition and for being an advocate for the arts, music, and all the arts.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Okay, folks. I think you got our message loud and clear. Now let's hear a piece of music from Derek Moore, who's going to be playing as part of the Carruthers Holiday Gathering, Holiday Bazaar. It's happening Sunday from 11 to 6, Monday from 3 to 9. It's right across the street from the Liberty on 12th and Commercial. Live music and lots of arts and crafts. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned, and I'll let you know what else is happening.
I came home yesterday. His thoughts were far away. The walls had all come down, sank into the ground. He wandered aimlessly till he found the sea to wash away his blame that made him go insane. When the ocean's tide has covered all the beach, the rocks he used to find are now beyond his reach. And when the tide recedes,